Hello, everyone. This is David Hughes from the Corporate Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to the latest episode of WWT's Tech 17 podcast series. Our Tech 7 series brings together subject matter experts from WWT, our partners and customers, to discuss important topics on today's IT landscape. So I think we've got a really interesting topic today. It's one that I think we are all very familiar with and deal in our day-to-day jobs on a regular basis, and that is team collaboration. So to discuss it today, we've got three of our subject matter experts from here at Worldwide Technology. They're all in our collaboration practice. So we've got Joe Berger, Tim Capel, and Derek Monahan. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
So I will have you guys, we'll kind of go around the table. We're all in one place today here at Worldwide Technologies campus here in St. Louis. So maybe starting with Joe, if we can just kind of go around the room, maybe give us your title and your role here at Worldwide.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. This is Joe Berger. I am the Practice Director for Collaboration and End User Compute here at WWT.
Hey, everyone. Tim Capel, Technical Solutions Architect on the National Collaboration Team.
And Derek Monahan, I'm the Practice Lead for Unified Communications at Worldwide Technology.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us today. But obviously, there's been a lot of tools in collaboration and just the communication process, and it's certainly evolving in a very fast pace. So I think maybe just kind of the first thing that I thought we could talk about was some of the tools that are involved in this area right now, and some of the ones we talked about before we started was business chat, group chat, workflow communication. So maybe Joe, we could start with you and maybe just kind of go around the table, give us a quick overview of those and kind of what are the main players in this space.
Yeah, it sounds good. And just to be clear, the phone is not dead. we do help a lot of customers with, we're still shocked. I mean, years ago, I think the industry thought the phone would die, but I'll tell you what, people still love having their phone. We thought more and more people would go to that soft phone client. And they have,
but we do have a lot of customers
yeah, okay. who like that phone. I even had a customer tell me once he likes the phone just so he can hang up on people. So, it's definitely still around and kicking. But you know, kind of going to the topic of today, it has really evolved. And over the past, I'd say 18 to maybe, I don't know, 24 months, what we've seen is this new concept of team collaboration. You commonly hear things like group chat, business chat, where it's really around an online or a mobile chat experience where you can get multiple people communicating on a single client, teams chatting, launching into a video call or a conference call, all in a single sort of application that is mobile enabled and can be enabled on your desktop as well. Tim and Derek, kind of what do you guys think around this subject?
Yeah, just to reiterate that, certainly one of the big players, obviously, Slack, almost kind of like the grandfather of it all, or at least the one that became the most popular, leading to the corporations like Cisco and Microsoft to make their own plays and with Spark and Teams. I think that's what kind of validated when these bigger companies said, we have to get into this space. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the confusion now in the industry.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the history, you know, the started just with simple, the word persistent came to mind. You know, persistence was needed to have a room where we could keep the messages around for a while to either look at it, archive it for legal purposes, or simply to just have a persistent room where we could collaborate, which has now evolved into the kind of the next evolution of what's we're, again, calling team collaboration. You know, it's something that is well adopted. If you look at the average customer today, I think it's about one third of our customers have some kind of team collaboration chat type software. From a year ago, year and a half ago, it was around 3%. Yeah. And so it's really the adoption has increased dramatically just in the last year and a half. So it's really showing corporations are adopting this team collaboration idea. The problem I see, at least, is a lot of the business drivers and use cases aren't really well defined yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure just like any newer technology, that kind of takes time. You did hit on a good subject there, the persistent chat. I know a lot of times we get in conversations where they want to get, what's the difference between kind of business chat and team mm-hmm. chat versus instant messaging? So you want to maybe clarify that for our audience today?
Yeah, I think instant messaging we all have used, and that's kind of where it started after email became very common. So, you know, instant messaging is traditionally like a tool that we use for, I need, you know, help immediately. I need quick answers to quick questions, and just some more of a instant type kind of response, not something that you use in a project or even shorter long-term project base. So it is a definitely a different kind of persona, different type of a tool and use in that sense. But team chat definitely from a persistent perspective allows not just the conversation to continue before and after the meeting, but now we can store, share files, and also communicate via audio and video.
Yeah, I feel like the definitions probably aren't the greatest because, yeah. I mean, there's no reason that an instant message needs to be defined as it's more like the tools, right? Jabber, AOL, and all that stuff. It really comes down to the tools. What you call it is probably helpful from a marketing perspective, but, you know, comes down to the tool and what it is.
One thing that I like to throw out too, and Tim mentioned before we move on to our next topic is Slack. So I've heard a lot about Slack. It's some companies were kind of early adopters, and I'll kind of throw this out to the group. So maybe just for our listeners, if you could just kind of tell them a little bit about kind of, you know, who is Slack, how did they evolve, and kind of what kind of unique practice did they bring to the space where now some of the bigger players are kind of piggybacking on the team chat service.
So quick story, I'll try to be quick. They were a video game company. They needed a way to chat with each other, so they created their own chat platform, realized that was more profitable than the video game. So they pivoted and started really just growing it from Silicon Valley, agile space, and then from there just kind of exploded. I was just thinking a few minutes ago, probably the first time that the consumers, or at least people, have driven what IT is starting to do maybe. And I can't think of anything else that is, you know, emailed.
Kind of taken off that much.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that this has been that first type of tool, and Slack probably should get the credit for that, to where corporations and IT had to start saying, hey, what's going on here? What are we supposed to do now? And by that time, it's not too late, but by that time, users are already embedded into their own platform. So.
Yeah, it is interesting because it is one of those tools that kind of started with the development teams and it kind of grew organically throughout organizations from there. And, you know, typically IT gets a tool and rolls it out. In this instance, a small pocket of users started using something and
the other way around,
it started adding more users to it, which caused everyone else to kind of get on board. It really kind of goes into the whole model of businesses become more agile and smaller project teams. That's kind of why it started within that development community and grew outward, because they already kind of follow that whole agile methodology, and more parts of the business are starting to follow that flow. So it does make sense there.
So yeah. If it started in the game, so if it started with a gaming company, probably like a lot of our kids started using Team Chat before all of us did a work.
Well, especially on the consumer side, yeah. it is pretty.
Well, it's mobile friendly, right? Yeah. And that's the way we're changing. It's we're mobile now.
Yeah, and if you look at a commonality between all these applications, they're mostly cloud based. They're cloud it's a platform that's cloud as a service, and which provides a lot of value to our customers because the development of it increases just, you know, every day. There's new features, new capabilities, integrations. And speaking of integrations, some applications do a much better job than others. And so we look at, you know, that and how it impacts the business into their existing workflows. So a lot of integrations, I think, is the next evolution of where we're seeing it. We've seen a lot of customers look at bots, but they're not sure how to use the bots in their environment. You know, there's kind of, I call them kind of gimmicky things you can do with bots, but there, you know, there's also business relevant things that we can create, you know, as a company. But what's important is that integration, you know, integration to a CRM or a backend system that they can leverage and make their business more impactful by using these tools and way outside the persistent chat we talked earlier.
Mm-hmm. Well, one tool that's been kind of mentioned a few times, which is, I think, a lot of times we see it as a blessing and a lot of times we see it as a curse, is email. So what impact is Team Chat and some of the tools that we're talking about? I mean, you hear things like it's going to replace email. We'll always, you know, it's just going to supplement email communication. So what impact does team collaboration and some of the tools we've been talking about, you know, what impact are they going to have on email?
I would love to see it killed, but I doubt it's going to happen.
Well, you just said it about the phones, right?
Yeah. You're still using phones.
It's never going away. It has its use case. The use case just changes over time. And I think, you know, even internally, we've been using team collaboration here. We actually use Cisco Spark. We've been doing this for, I don't know, about a year, year and a half. Mm-hmm. Once again, it's one of those things that's grown organically. But I can honestly say I think my use of email has gone down. It hasn't gone away. But what you're finding is all those old email threads where you'd have a conversation going back and forth. You might have, you know, 10 to 15 emails. A lot of those conversations are now being moved into a team collaboration application, and that's where the threading now takes place. And it definitely, you know, definitely cuts down your inbox, and now you're storing more of that content in the same place, which becomes easier to search. So. Yeah. It definitely has its benefits there when you start talking about really group communication and conversations.
Yeah, Joe, you talk about searchability. You know, I think one of the things that a lot of customers are probably challenged with today is having some kind of some governance policy and information protection strategy around this. And that's what's sort of inhibiting them from adopting it. So one of the things that, you know, we talk to our customers about is how does security impact the choice of application, and where does it fit in your organization? And that's a really important conversation our customers are looking to address, is just the governance and the information protection. And in e-discovery, looking at within the, you know, the files, looking for certain keywords, but also, you know, the email question, you know, is, I agree. It's not dead. It's far from dead. The thing, though, is if we look at storage of files, I mean, I hate using my email for storage. It's not an effective way. It also, if Joe sends me a presentation we need to work on for the next day, if I go into a team app, let's say Cisco Spark, for example, we can work on it, or even Microsoft Teams, in real time, and then effectively save time and emails going back and forth, and so that we're working in real time on a content as opposed to just file sharing, which is mm-hmm. just not a really good purpose for email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my usage of email has gone down, hasn't gone away, and it probably won't for a long time, unfortunately. But yeah, it's just like the phone; it has staying power.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Right. I know one topic that we wanted to cover today was just about, and we talked about this a little before, was about Cisco announcing a new tool called Spark Assistant as of AI for business. So just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that tool and kind of how you see it fitting into this practice and how it might affect the future of team collaboration.
Yeah, so most people probably know Spark is the application for team collaboration, primarily from, you know, the chatting perspective, but it really is built as a platform. And one of the things that they actually just announced this week was around the ability to have some AI, what they consider a conversational AI, where Spark can start controlling your meeting flow. So I think most people have this problem. They walk into maybe a conference room. They're running a couple minutes late. They have to fire up their laptop, get a conference code, click on the link. It's just kind of a tedious and old process. What this new Spark Assistant is going to allow is you can now walk into a room and just say, hey, Spark, start my meeting. The AI will be living in the basically the video endpoint or the room endpoint. And it's kind of always going to be with us at some point. You'll almost consider Spark as like your virtual team member that, yeah, maybe today they're starting the meeting, but in the future, you know, leveraging the power of what AI can do over time, you know, this can start doing a lot of other things, maybe pulling up your pipeline, maybe controlling some IoT devices in the room, integrating with more line of business applications to kind of be that team member that maybe might be thinking on your behalf or kind of forward thinking of what you're going to be kind of getting into within that meeting conversation. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on sort of the future here, but
yeah, no, I agree. I think it's still very early. I think we're in different phases of just like a kind of the, if you call it the AI, you know, kind of the future roadmap. But it's one of the things that I can see, you know, happening immediately is, like you mentioned, Joe, starting a meeting, making your life easier from a collaboration, a meeting experience level. And then let's take it to the next step is now you, Joe, you and I are in a meeting, and it picks up on a keyword. Let's say, you know, you asked me to take a note for set up a task for Friday. It already heard that. It knows that a task has to be created on my calendar for Friday. That calendar task gets created automatically. it takes away from something that I might have forgotten to walk. If I walk out of the room, I might have forgotten to write that down. So there, and that's even going further, where it's tapping into data and other things behind the scenes, especially like in Office 365, you can actually have access to a lot of information about the company and the things that you do. But I think it starts with the simple thing of starting meetings, making it easy, and then from there, transcription, translation services is another one that I see is mm-hmm. something that's common. I don't know, Tim, what are your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. I was actually going to say something similar, that okay. I'm glad the first phase is dealing with making meetings easier, because the future is very interesting, but just the fact of somebody being able to have a meeting just do it better, easier, actually works, something that people still struggle with,
yep.
That's great. That's, for me, that would be a huge win.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So guys, I think we're just about wrapping up our episode today. So just maybe in the last minute or so, just to kind of throw out a final thought. So if there's a customer that maybe is not, hasn't really introduced this product into their collaboration space, kind of what would you say to them in terms of, here's like the main reason that you guys should implement this sort of collaboration tool?
I don't know if you want to take that first, Derek. I know I have my own thoughts.
Yeah. So a couple of things. There's soft and hard kind of requirements. A soft requirement would be, hey, I need this company needs a better productivity out of their employees. Mm-hmm. That's sometimes hard to measure, and that's not really a business driver in some cases, but it can be. The other thing is hard examples. We need to improve research and development, and bring a product quicker to market. So define the use cases. Also, we've seen this being adopted, as Joe mentioned earlier, within departmental and smaller groups within the organization. The IT has to have part of the strategy. Usually the lines of business have the strategy, and then IT supports it. So make sure that IT and the lines of business are working closely together. And also think about the governance and security side of it. That's really key, so that it can be adopted. It's a cloud solution. You need to make sure the security is and then everything's protected and encrypted in the cloud. And not only that, it can be discoverable and archived. So that's my thought.
Yeah, I have a pretty quick way of looking at it. I think that it's just such a better platform than the IAM platform, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think it can spread like wildfire if you start with smaller teams and teams that can really find value in it. I don't think it's something that you just throw out there and make everybody use right away, but I think it grows in time, and that would be my best advice.
Yeah, and just to kind of close that out, there are a lot of players in this space right now. I mean, we've listed just a few here, but it seems like every communication provider now has their own definition of team collaboration and their own application. I think, as you said, Derek, defining use cases, looking at security and compliance standards for the organization are going to be critical for this. So it's really helping the decision makers in the line of business identify the personas and the use cases, and then figure out what the best platform is for that organization versus maybe going out and just buying the first one off the shelf just because that's the one who's selling to you first. So it's really doing your due diligence and making sure you're getting the right platform for the right decisions.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Well, I think I know one thing I think that I learned today is as great a tool as team collaboration is and will probably evolve over time, phones and emails are still here to stay. So I want to thank our panel today. So Derek, Tim, Joe, thanks for joining us today on Tech 17.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Good to be here.
So that wraps up today's Tech 17 podcast episode. Again, for our listeners, please subscribe to our Tech 17 podcast channel. It's available on iTunes and any and all other software platforms that you use for your podcast subscriptions. Again, it is free, and they are dropped on the first and third Monday of the month. If you would like some further information, a little deeper dive, we'll provide some links on the podcast description where you can go get some further information on this from the collaboration practice here at Worldwide Technology. We love hearing feedback, so go on Twitter. You can go to hashtag Tech17. Also go to our Twitter feed at Worldwide Technology. We love getting feedback from our listeners, and we certainly appreciate any comments. Last but not least, we also have our Tech 37 podcast channel where we have our new episodes of Between the Racks. They're both available on our podcast channel, and also they are available on YouTube in video format as well. So with that, thanks again to everyone for listening, and we will see you next time on Tech 17.